Lord, we exalt your name. Lord, we exalt your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we go ahead and just for a few more seconds, just lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, there's none like you. God, there's none compared to you. You are holy and high and lifted up. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Hallelujah. There's none like you. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Christmas is over. Back to reality. Open to presents. But we're here today. Amen? It's good to be here today. I'd like to give a shout out to my grandma. Thank you for being here today. All righty. Well, there's a couple of things that I, and you know what? I forgot to give it the verses. Sorry back there, I forgot to give you the verses. But if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And I'll continue to read down. Mark 8, 31. And it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed after 3 days, rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Lord Jesus, we pray right now for this word. I pray, God, that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would be heard. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for what you're doing here today, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I guess if I would title this, it would be, Listen. To listen, or just listen, or any of the listening if you wanted to change it up, to listen. Now, after hearing Jesus talk about how he had to suffer and die, Peter takes him aside. He takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Or he, to charge him openly or admonishes him. He rebukes Jesus. It's almost as though Peter didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say because it sounded kind of negative. And that kind of negativity was kind of going against what Peter thought was going to happen. Peter appears to have his own idea of how things should be. So he's sitting there listening to Jesus, and he's like, no. But then Jesus rebukes Peter. He called him Satan, or he was acting like Satan, or what his behavior, his motivation, his heartbeat was not for God, and he called him Satan, and says he doesn't savorist, or he doesn't regard, or he doesn't really concern himself or care about the things that be of God, but the things of men. So Peter had his own idea of how things should be. He was ready for Jesus to set up his kingdom and rule the world. Or he had his own idea. He saw some things. He saw some miracles, some signs, some wonders. He drew some conclusions. He had an idea of what Jesus was going to do, and he thought he figured it out. Many people believe that he would build his kingdom, destroy evil, and sit on his throne and rule. And they were right, just not at that moment. In the middle of Jesus is speaking about what was going to happen and what was going to happen next, Peter stopped listening and tried to tell Jesus what was going to happen next. Jesus is over there explaining, this is what's going to happen. And he's like, no, this is what's going to happen. No, I'm not listening to you. Get that behind me. This is what we're going to do. He's trying to tell him what's going to happen. We so often listen like Peter, like he was listening. We hear what we want to hear and not what Jesus is saying. For example, have you ever been listening to someone tell you something important? And instead of focusing on what they were saying, you were actually thinking about what you wanted to say. You're listening to them, you know it was important, and you're just kind of thinking about what you want to do, what you think the answer to is already. Before you even got the information, you're like, oh, I know. I made a judgment call. Oh, yeah, I know your problem. And you're not even listening. You're just kind of like, yep, I figured you out. And no, you're not listening. We actually become more focused on the solution than listening to the details to solve the problem. Now, Jesus may be saying to you, you're going to have to do some things for me that you don't really want to do in your flesh. He might be saying that. He might be speaking some words to you that maybe you really don't want to do in your flesh, in your carnality. Maybe he's asking you to fast. Or not because he wants you to starve, but because there's some things that he wants to show you that you can't really see with your carnal mind. With our carnal minds, we can't see. Maybe he's asking you to do that. Maybe, or he's saying to you, you might have to do what feels uncomfortable. Maybe he's asking you to say something to somebody about God. Maybe he's asking you to witness. Maybe he's put something on your heart in a certain situation to say to somebody, but it might feel a little uncomfortable. You might have to face some uncertainty, some rejection, some maybe even hunger, maybe even suffering for his name's sake. Is he calling you to something? Has he put a call in your life? Maybe this is some things that he's saying to you. These are physically hard sometimes. And it might not always be what we want to do in our flesh. But like Peter, we want to do, or we don't really want to hear that. We want to do what feels good. We want to establish this kingdom. We want to rule with our Savior. We want to heal people. We want to see all these wonderful things. We want what feels good. We want the blessings and the favor and the joy. We want all the benefits. That wasn't me. We want all the benefits. The funny thing is, when we aren't hearing God speak those things, when we're not hearing God speak those blessings and the favor and the joy and the benefits, we cry, God, why don't you speak to me? Why don't you speak to me? When we don't specifically hear those things, when really, he is speaking to us. When really, he is speaking to us. We just don't want to hear it. See, we have our ear tuned to hear the good things, the benefits. Can someone fix that? We need a specialist. That's distracting. Matt, fix it. Okay. Great, now I got to try to re-get the attention to everybody. Check. Okay. All right. Okay, so what I was saying. Sometimes we want to hear the blessings, we want the favor, we want the joy. And when we don't hear that, we're like, God, why aren't you speaking to me? And in fact, he really is speaking to us, we just don't want to hear it. We got that. We grip onto our comfort. We want to control things. We don't want to reach out for his comfort. You know, the Bible says that he won't leave you comfortless. It's just it's an exchange of laying down your control to pick up and let him control. Because it's pretty crazy. He wants what's best for us. He wants what's ultimately going to make you more happy and more joyful. Those blessings, those favor, and all that will come. But see, the hard thing is we got to do what he wants us to do. not necessarily what you understand. And that's where the hard part is between my own walk and everybody's own walk, is because sometimes we have to lay down our own figuring out. We have to lay down our own understanding, because we got to trust God. And so we listen for what we want to hear, but we don't want to acknowledge the things that God wants to hear. And we say, oh, that's not him. Oh, that's just me. And we stop listening to what he's speaking to us. He said he won't leave us comfortless. He'll come to us. His way really will bring us more comfort. And Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We're not going to figure this out in our nature, in our carnality. There's some things that God's telling you to do, but it won't make sense because you don't want to hear it, because we're thinking in our carnality. We're thinking in our flesh. We're thinking of self-preservation. We want to do what we want to succeed. We want to have success. We want to celebrate, and we want to have, you know, just operate in all the good things that feels good. And that's not necessarily what God's asking you to do. We're too carnal to hear his voice sometimes. He's telling us to do something specific, but we don't even acknowledge it. We're like, nope, I'm just trying to be too religious. I'm just trying to be, you know, maybe I need to step back a little bit. I think I'm trying too hard. And all this garbage that comes up, and God is convicting you. He's calling you. He's speaking to you about some things. The next part of that scripture, then Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The New Living Translation says, if you want to be my follower. The NIV says, if you want to be my disciple. You could just say, if you want to be considered a Christian, are you a follower of Christ? Think now, and you know, you got to deny yourself. Think of the game Simon Says. In the game, whatever Simon says goes. He's in charge, right? Whatever he says goes. Listening to Simon, the leader, defines the game, okay? Whatever he says goes. That's the definition of it. In this life, whatever Jesus says goes. Just kind of trying to simplify it. Listening to Jesus defines the life that we live. The life, the way, the truth, the life. Jesus says, deny yourself. And we must listen, or we could lose this life. You think about it. If we don't do what Simon says, we lose the game. I'm just giving a word picture. We really acknowledge that he is the Savior, the King, the God, the Lord of our life, but we don't do what he says. We don't acknowledge what he says. We don't even hear what he says. Deny means or to disown or to abstain. You know what makes a good soldier? The man that will not question his authority and will risk or deny his life for the greater cause. Can you imagine a soldier in the heat of battle after receiving his directive saying, well, sir, I really don't want to charge the enemy. I mean, have you seen their weapons? I don't really want to do that. And imagine that. The soldier, he wouldn't really be a good soldier, would he? I mean, I've heard it a lot of times. I have a lot of friends in the they train you in boot camp and all that to just obey orders, obedience, do what you're told. That's what makes a good soldier. That's what makes someone a success. The soldier isn't really privy to all the information. They might not know all the plans. They don't say, well, excuse me, sir, if I run in there, I mean, is anyone gonna cover me? I mean, you don't ask those questions. You gotta understand that the commander knows. We don't have to see the whole picture. He knows what is best. Are we good soldiers? Are we willing to risk our comfort, our pride, our reputation for the cause of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to deny ourselves, our carnality? Are we practicing submission? Or that's putting our mission under the mission. You ever heard that? Submission, Brother Kleindienst says it well. But that's true. To submit yourself, you have to put what you think, what you want, your own plans, you're underneath the mission. And so in the military, the soldier, he puts his wants aside. There's some things that we want to do. There's some desires and goals and plans that we have to have, and we all have. But if we don't lay those aside and actually do what God's calling us to do and realize that the greater good and the real success is going to come from your obedience to in hearing the voice of God. And that's what's going to define a good soldier. That's what defines a person who's going to succeed in military, someone who has a great record. Just a word picture. Our mission may impact us, but his mission will impact us and the world. Now, notice Jesus denied himself as well. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." In his flesh, he didn't want to go suffer. He didn't want to go and die. He did God's will, even though he didn't want to be physically hurt, because it was the will of God. It was God's will. It's what God said. This is what he was supposed to do. Peter wanted to carry out God's will as he felt it should be done. It was genuine. It probably came from a good place. No, don't speak of that. We don't want that negative talk. You're going to psych yourself out, Jesus. He was sincere. It was genuine. But he wasn't listening. He wasn't listening to what he, and you know, it's recorded several times. They heard this before. So he wasn't listening, and therefore it wasn't very accurate. You think about it, if Jesus Christ is speaking to you about something, we probably want to listen instead of correcting him. No, God, you're not telling me to do that. No, you don't want me to do that. No, listen, this is probably what we should do. No. God sometimes is speaking something to us specifically for a certain situation, for that time, and he wants us to listen to his voice and adhere to it. We think sometimes we could figure it out better or put it aside, and we wonder why we're not able to succeed in certain areas. We wonder why we're struggling with certain things. Many of us want to carry out God's will as we feel it should be carried out. We want to do it just like Peter. We want to carry out God's will to our liking. We want to pick and choose which commandments, which words to listen to. We want to pick and choose what pastor says. We want to pick and choose about what God has ordained for us and how to live our life and which commandments to listen to. We pick and choose how we want to live. We don't listen. We kind of do what feels good instead of what he wants us to do. Many of us are genuine and sincere. People can be genuine and sincere and actually be dead wrong. Having good intentions does not really matter if we're not doing what's right. You know what I'm saying? We could start, I want to do the right thing. Well, that's good. But if we're not willing to listen to it, then what are we doing? What good have we done? Your sincerity and your genuineness is not going to make it. It's not going to get you there. It's acknowledging. It's hearing what he's saying and doing it. And that's something that every person, every level, needs to understand. And when we listening to the voice of God is what's going to define this life. Listening to what Jesus is speaking, even if it is a little uncomfortable, is what's going to define this life. Your success, your overcoming power, your joy, your comfort, your success, it's going to come from listening to the voice of God. It's not going to come from your filter and you're deciding which ones to choose. Should I pay tithes? Should I give offering? Should I go there? Should I pray for people? Should I be a witness? Are those all the will of God? Yes. These are some things. This is the basic thing. This is the minimum. We should at least, if we don't know what God's speaking in our life about certain situations specifically to us, we can at least acknowledge what he has written down. We can at least acknowledge and live by the word of God that he's already spoken that we can have access to every single day. It's already laid before us, but we pick and choose. Amen. But are we listening to what Jesus is telling us to do? Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Jesus corrected Peter because he loved him. He wanted him to do the right thing. We know that later on, Peter goes out and, preaches the first church message. He goes out and does all these awesome things. He loved Peter. He corrected him. He pointed out that his concerns were not for God. He let him know that, hey, listen, by the way, you are more concerned with the things of man than the things of God. He let him know that. He corrected him. We read in the next verse, it seems he told Peter and the other people
what to do about those concerns. How to solve that problem. You know, his concern for the world. Because many of us, we might not be paying attention, but we have more concerns for the things of the world than the things of God. And therefore, our filter's all messed up, and we hear what we want to hear. We see what we want to see. We want to be successful. We want to be rich. We want to gain all this wealth and worldly power, and we want to overcome, and we want to get the newest stuff, and we want to... But really, that's a bunch of junk, and it's garbage, and it's actually not going to do any good for us. In fact, it's going to hold us back a lot of times. So Jesus is saying that there's a certain way, and he helped Peter with this problem because he loved him. He wanted him to know, listen, I corrected you. I called you Satan, but listen, this is what's up. Deny yourself. He said, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Like Peter, we don't want to hear God because we're listening to other things. We're listening to our own understanding, our own desires, our own motivations, and our own goals. We're listening to tradition. We're doing what other people do. It's not tailor-fit. We're not hearing what God's saying to us. We're just following tradition. We listen to culture and worldly things, what they're doing. And in fact, we'll even base our Christianity around that so it fits. And we get nice and comfortable, and we fit both here and there. And we're lukewarm, and it don't matter. We're not succeeding. We're not going anywhere, except we're getting a lot of stress. Sometimes we'll have a little joy, but it really doesn't amount to much because we're not really doing anything for God. It's either we're living for God or we're not. But here's the thing. We got to realize that God loves us, and he gives us these opportunities to live for him. He will sometimes chasten us and correct us because he loves us. And sometimes those things that he wants you to do is part of the chastening process, but we don't really want to go through it, and so therefore we don't learn from it, and therefore we don't actually succeed. God might want us to go through certain things, but we really don't want to get uncomfortable, so we leave those alone, and we just keep praying, God, why don't you speak to me? Why don't you speak to me? Meanwhile, all we're saying is, God, why don't you bless me and give me cool stuff and toys and cars and money? But he's saying, I want you to do this thing. That's going to bring you, first of all, it's for my kingdom. You will succeed greater than you've ever imagined. You will change the world. You will change somebody's eternity. You will do all these things, but we don't listen. We want to do what we feel like is the best. Sometimes we're listening to the doctor's reports, and we're just stuck on that. We're stuck on that. We don't want to hear what God's saying about us, what we should do. Sometimes we're even listening to Satan. We're letting the devil speak in our ear and tell us who we are and what we are and what he thinks we are. And we get stuck on that, and we don't allow God to speak to us. We don't allow God's favor to flow through us. We don't allow the life to be lived that God has ordained for us. We stop walking in his way. We don't really know his truth, and we aren't really living the life because we don't listen to what God says. Matthew 6:24. I did not give that to her in the back. Says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two masters. And so much of the time, we're so preoccupied with the worldly things, with our own desires, with our own traditions and our own doctrines, with our own culture. And a lot of times, we feel like we have all this backing of stuff. I know a lot of people in church. I got my pastor. He's going to help me through. He's going to come and he's going to tell this person how to get saved. We associate our success and our wealth with our stuff, our toys, our money. And we go through this life and we think that that's going to save us and that's going to back us. But meanwhile, God's saying, I want you to do some things. I want to take you somewhere. And you know what? Those things aren't really going to keep you safe because in 1 second, I can take all that away. And then what are you going to do? And then how you're going to cry, oh God, why don't you speak to me? When he's saying, I have laid down all of these things for you, for your good. At the minimum, I have laid it out in the word of God. And if we're not living at least by what he says in his word, much less specifically what he's speaking to you in prayer, then what are we going to do? He has laid some things out for us. And he wants us to listen. He wants us to let him be the master and the Lord of our life. We cannot serve God and our riches and our wealth. We cannot serve God and try to build up our kingdom. We can't live for the kingdom of God and try to be a huge success and grow our own pride and wealth and power. And it's not going to work. He said, deny yourself. What is our goal in this world? What is our plan? You know, people, we set goals and we want to do great things. Have you thought about it? Does it involve God? Is it the will of God first? If it's really to bring you a sense of comfort and feeling of happiness and success, listen, that's great and all, but I want you to know that there is no success like success in Jesus. There's no success like the overcoming power and the life that God has ordained for you. And not just for you, for the people that you're going to tell, for the people that you can help, for the people that you lay hands on and they recover. There's no life like a successful life with Jesus Christ. There's no life like listening to the voice of God and knowing what he's saying to you. Saying, oh, God, you want me to, okay, I'm going to do that. And it's just like we said before, you feel the presence of God. Faith without works is dead. You start putting some works in that faith and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm living the life. I'm listening to you, Lord. What are you saying? This is real. God, you are real. You didn't just say it in this word, in this magical story. This is real. This is true. This is life. And I can hear it. I can feel you. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. Because he is speaking to us. And it's cool when he speaks some things, not just in his word. A lot of times he'll speak through his words, but when he'll speak specifically to a situation, he'll let you know some things. He'll give you the answer that you're praying about. He'll talk to you. It becomes real. It becomes living. It becomes life. And it's not just a thing. It's not just a stressful check on your list of things to do, which if we do that and if we're living this way and we're not really listening to God and following, this coming to church, living a Christian life is burdensome and is boring, and we're just waiting to trip up and fall and backslide. We're looking for a reason to walk away because we're living for our own self-gratification, our own pleasure, our own wants, and we're waiting for a reason to step away. But if, let me ask you this, if we're not listening to the word of God, if we're not doing like Simon says, if we're not doing what Jesus says, then what are we doing? Then we're not going to make it. If we haven't tried it yet, I suggest we try it because it will never be happy. You'll never be happy enough. You'll never have enough stuff. I think I mentioned before the statistics of people who win the lottery. For that first month, they are so happy. So happy. After that first month, it goes back down exactly where they were. Still rich. Still have all this stuff. And this is it was a big survey, a big study. So I'm saying your stuff ain't going to save you. You will always feel miserable. And I'm not saying that to curse you, but it's true. You'll always feel like, I don't have it. What is God, why don't you help me? And we pray the same prayers, and we keep crying for the same thing. And God keeps, I'm here still. I am still wanting to save you. I love you, and I've never changed my mind about that. I will always be there for you. I want you to come, just step out a little bit. Listen, it doesn't have to be you give up everything all at once. I mean, you don't have to rechange your schedule. Like, I'm not going to work today. I'm going to be a prophet. It's not like that. He knows what he's doing. But he'll make a way for you. And it's amazing when we start listening to his voice. Good soldiers, they don't pick and choose which orders to follow. Sergeant or Commander, I don't want, can you give me another option? I could get shot. You know? That doesn't make a good soldier. And many of us have not been listening to our commander and are neglecting to put on the... Listen to this. So we neglect to put on the full armor of God because we're afraid it'll be too heavy or too burdensome in the battles of life. And as a result, we're having all kinds of heart issues from not wearing the breastplate of righteousness, being shot at with fiery darts all the time. And we wonder why we're having heart issues. Our desires. We're battling in our mind because we're not wearing the helmet of salvation. Because it's a little awkward and heavy. I'm not as free to go and do what I want. But we're battling with our own understanding of being saved and the peace of mind. And we're struggling because we're open to every little fiery dart that the enemy has. We can't protect ourselves from all the false doctrine, from all the things that come our way because we're not carrying the shield of faith. We gain no spiritual ground because we're not wielding the sword of the Spirit. And so we are not able to fight the battle because we pick and choose which commands to follow. We think doing these things is a little bit, it's kind of hard to do. It's a little, it's burdensome. You want me to have what? I got the righteousness and the helmet of salvation and you want me to live a certain way. And that stuff's heavy. You know, I feel better if I'm able to kind of, you know, go in there and do what I want to do. And we pick and choose the way that we want to live because we have an idea. We think we're better. We think we have a better understanding than God. We're afraid that the armor is a little heavy. It's going to be too burdensome. I got to give up some stuff? Nah, I might die. I got to give up some stuff? No, if I go in there, they're going to laugh at me. You want me to do what? We think it's a little too burdensome. It's going to be a little difficult. And we must stop listening for other things that tend to our carnality and our selfishness and our self-preservation. Because the next verse in Mark chapter 8 is verse 35. It says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my name's sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." If you want to truly save your life, we must lose it. We must deny ourselves for his sake, for the gospel's sake, for your success, for your joy, for your peace, for your overcoming, and because you get to know, best of all, you get to hear the voice of God. This doesn't become a tradition anymore. This doesn't become your weekly extracurricular activity. This doesn't become part of our culture. This becomes a relationship. Because how can we have a relationship if we're not listening? Yeah, I think I have a friend. I don't know. I don't even know what I tell him what to do. I don't know. He doesn't really talk to me, I don't think. I'm not really listening. He's my best friend. I tell him what to do, and it's great. No, that's not a relationship. That's a one-way street. If we want to live this life, then we must listen to what God says. If we truly want to have success, if we truly want to succeed, then we got to allow God to start working in our life. There's so many things that we set before us, so many distractions, and we all think that we can just figure it out, but we can't figure it out without God. It's such a cool thing when we start at least doing the minimum of what God says, following the Word of God, the Bible, acting on that. And it's crazy because you'll start to hear the voice of God when you're praying, and He'll tell you specifically what to do. It's amazing. Have you ever thought about what does it mean to deny yourself? We've heard it, but to think about it, denying our own wants, our kind of, am I doing that? Because, listen, if it's Jesus says, and I want to succeed, and I don't want to fail the game, I want to make it to heaven, I want to do the right thing, am I willing to deny myself certain things? Am I willing? Now, all the while, God wants our success. The Bible says that He's come to steal, seal, and destroy, but that you'd have life abundantly. So obviously He has your best in mind. But are you willing to actually deny certain things in your life? I guess the moral of the story is we have to deny ourselves. We have to lay some things down to be obedient, to allow Him to work in our life. There's some things that we cannot fix on our own. Some of us, you know, we can be pretty smart, well-educated. That doesn't mean anything. That's great, and I believe in education, but your education ain't going to save you. Your wisdom and knowledge isn't going to save you. Listening to the voice of God and obeying the voice of God is going to make us succeed. We're going to start overcoming. We're going to start finding ourselves succeeding in so many areas of our life. There's things that you didn't even know you needed to pray for that all of a sudden you're going to see come to pass. You're going to start feeling like, oh, yeah, I was struggling with that, and I didn't even know it. God's going to start blessing you. You're going to actually have the motivation to live. You're going to have the motivation. Listen, you know why we have so much depression, so much anxiety, so much fear? We have so many things going on that's wrong with us, and especially as Christians, talk about a conflict in life. We know that there's a right way, but yet we allow all this garbage to live. We have such a conflict, a moral conflict, and how to live. And you know what happens most of the time? We just give it all up because it's too stressful. It's too stressful. I don't want to go there. I want to relax, and I just want to make it. And we just give everything else up. We don't even try anymore because we're so overwhelmed. But if we purposefully listen to what God is speaking, we start stepping out, we deny some things. Maybe don't just, instead of feeding your carnality, and I'm speaking to myself, instead of just constantly always doing what we want to do and entertaining ourselves, then why don't we try at least the minimum? Why don't we spend a little bit of time in prayer? Why don't we spend a little, and all of a sudden, once we start putting some faith in works, we're going to start hearing the voice of God, and we're going to start acknowledging the voice of God. Then you're going to start feeling conviction. Then you're going to start finding yourself going places you didn't know. All of a sudden, you're going to feel like, and you're going to actually be walking in the newness of life. You're going to be walking the way God wants you to walk. Let's stand, if you don't mind. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about listening. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Faith comes by hearing. We need to listen specifically to what God says and not our own interpretation. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for always speaking and always flowing and moving in our lives, Lord, in deeper ways than we understand, in ways that we can't fathom, Lord. Thank you, God, for your plan and purpose for each one of us. I pray right now, Lord, help us to be able to lay things aside. God, help us to get an understanding that, Lord, we must listen to your voice. We must obey your voice. We must live according to your way and your word, Lord. I pray that right now it would get a hold of us, Jesus, that, Lord, we would be able to acknowledge some things that we're not letting go, Lord, so that we might lay it down, God, and deny ourselves and start walking towards you. I pray that right now, Lord, in overcoming power, Lord, a successful life that is lived through you, Lord. I pray that you would touch every person in this church, God, that you would continue to work. I thank you for that conviction. I thank you for that overcoming power, Lord, to keep pushing forward, to keep striving for you, Lord, because you are the way and the truth and the life. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord.